Andy, how's it going? We're picking this up after a bit of technical difficulties with recording. So you guys have a big release coming soon, right?
Yeah, and to listeners who might be wondering about the choppy transition, we're having some technical difficulties, but I think we've gotten those sorted out. But yeah, we've been working on a redesign for far too long. And I think, yeah, it could be an entire episode just talking about the learnings of that. But at the end of the day, as we got deeper into it, we just knew, okay, if we want to do this, we don't want to rush anything out there. We want to really get this right. And so it's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of tweaks, a lot of improvements. And then as it gets put into the code, bugs pop up, functionality isn't what you thought it would be. And there's just some usability things that I don't really know what it is, but it looks the same as it does in Figma, but when I'm actually using it, I'm like, oh, that doesn't quite make sense there. This isn't quite right. But we were super happy with where it's at right now. And the plan is, so yeah, this is Wednesday, August 18th. The plan is tomorrow during office hours to do a reveal of it to our customers, really with a focus on the improved functionality. There's been a lot of features that people have been asking for years that now will be in there. And the UX is just much better, so it's going to be faster to work with. It just all makes logical sense. So I'm really optimistic what that'll look like. And what we'll do is just at the end of it, we already have a few people that we've known for a while using it, but we're going to open up the beta pool for a week or two and then see how that goes. And assuming things go well, then we will roll that out publicly, ideally at the end of this month. And so you and I were talking before just about what that actually looks like. Do the current customers get access to both apps? What do new customers do? How does that all work? And where we've landed is, I think this would be a little bit different if it was in a lull in the sports schedules. But if it was like halfway through, if it was saying when, for the most part, basketball is over with, baseball's been going for a few months, there's nothing new coming up, we could have a shorter transition. But we are just really aware of the fact that people have built their process around the way the app works now. It does not work that differently, but it is still a different tool. And just myself, like, there's so many apps where it's like Time Doctor for time tracking for contractors. They've been trying to get me to use a new version of the site for months and months. I just keep going like, go to classic, because I don't want to learn it. I don't care. And I know I'm not alone in that. And so I think a lot of customers just won't want to change something if they don't feel like they have to. So part of that for us is selling the benefits. This is an improved version of the product. It's not just a facelift. But what we're planning to do is, rather than just change things right on them the week before football starts, it's going to be defaulting to the new version of the app with a pop-up that explains how it all works, with a link in the top of the navigation that can bring them back to the old app at any point that they want to. And so that will make sure that, like, okay, they'll at least try it out. If they want to go back to the old one, they can. And we'll see how long we do that for, because there's definitely a technical burden of maintaining two apps. I'm fine putting a stop to new features on the old app, of course, but if things break there, we will fix them. And so that's going to stretch people a little bit thin. But yeah, the goal is just keep that up for as long as is necessary, which is obviously vague, but I don't know a better way of phrasing it until we just see what the reaction is and how things go. But for new customers, the plan is they only get the new app. Objectively is an improved version of this app. They should get that. Having the old one in there is going to confuse them. We just want to focus on that going forward. And so that's kind of how that split will go.
When you say like the new version of the app and the old version, is it HTML and CSS, or is it like a different app? Like they're going to a different environment, log in again, all that kind of stuff? Or is it just they want like to front end?
They shouldn't have to log in again. I guess I'll have to check with our developers on that. But I wouldn't assume they have to log in again. But it is a new app. It would be... So right now, it's hosted at... It's an Angular app hosted at app.saberstorm.com. That will be where we host the new app once it gets out of beta. And then it'll probably just be old or classic.saberstorm.com for the other one. And the link would bring them between the two. So it's more than just a skin of the old app, a lot of the front end code has been rewritten and refactored. And so, yeah, it's not just a new theme on it, really.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And do you think that the new features and the like enhanced workflows and things like that to make it easier for people to make good lineups will be something that you all like sell a lot? Like, is this going to enable a lot of marketing stuff for you? Or is this just like, hey, customers were bitching about like the app not looking good and being easy to use. We need like, was it a churn prevention thing?
Yeah, so there's a mix. So I think this new app, I'm confident, will increase trial conversions because there were certain features that just kept getting asked for that we didn't have, and we added these to the new app. And the reason we did it in the new app was because it had just taken so long to get the design down to where we wanted it to, where Matt had some extra bandwidth. So he's like, all right, like as they're moving along on that, I'll start putting new features into this new branch. And that kind of started adding up, and we have a lot of new functionality in here. But yeah, a lot of it was things that people requested. I don't think it'll be revolutionary for our current customers because it's just almost a survivorship thing where the ones who those features were super important to like just didn't become customers. But there is a lot of cool things that they can do now that add to what they were already doing. So I think we will feel it in conversion rates and churn. But as far as promoting it goes, for existing customers or people who are familiar with the existing app, it will be selling the benefits. It'll say like, yes, this is new. Here are the benefits of it. Whereas in our marketing going forward, I don't want to position it around the redesign as like this new thing. It's just more as we're teaching people how to play daily fantasy football, we'll show them what they can do in the app and won't even really talk about the old one, won't talk about that. So it's just kind of, here are all the things you can do. Here's how we use it, that sort of thing.
Is an update to the marketing site coming with this, or are like colors and brand stuff all the same between like the old and the new?
Yeah, it's not really a rebrand. So it's more, we originally called it a refactor because there are features people were complaining about. No one was really complaining about the design. We were actually getting a good amount of compliments, and I think that's more says more about the other tools in the space. But I just really didn't like it. I thought it was a good start, but it wasn't fully thought through, where I didn't think elements were consistent, and there's just a lot I wanted to clean up. So that's kind of what started with is, all right, let's add some new functionality in here, but let's make the design consistent. And it grew pretty quickly from there. But yeah, right now the marketing site will stay as is. I think we'll probably consider redesigning that down the road, but it's not like, if anything, the new app fits closer to the marketing site than right now. The colors especially. So right now, like on our site at sabersim.com, it's darker colors. It's like black and green are the primary colors for the most part. Then you get into our app and it's more just like a standard looking app. It's modern looking, which fits with our vibe, but the new app is going to default to dark mode, which people in our space, and I feel like the gaming world in general, love dark mode. And a lot of people are doing this at night, and it's just easier on the eyes and it just looks, I guess, cooler. So yeah, we'll default to the dark mode and that will just make the whole brand feel more consistent. But yeah, I think the site itself will probably need some work down the road.
So we are also working on a rebrand, but ours is much more like rebrand, new logo, new colors, new fonts, this kind of thing. And we're kind of approaching it the opposite way, partly because we have a bigger need, I feel like, on the marketing site. Like the theme that we're using there is 2.5 years old, probably. And so we have new everything happening there. New, just like basically taking all the content and importing it into a new site with new theme, new colors, new layouts, new everything. We're staying with WordPress. And so that all is just going to happen in one day the new website will show up, shooting for, by the end of the quarter. And we're going to take a pretty iterative approach in the dashboard. So like change the logo and the fonts and the colors on day one, and maybe like the login page and the register page. And then everything else about the app will stay the same. And then like the podcast list page will be the next thing. And then the episode list page will be, and then the episode edit page or create page will, So like trying to just take like, instead of us saying, okay, we're going to just take the next 3 months and refactor the whole thing. Basically, our new front-end developer is going to spend, you know, say half of her time refactoring the style of the dashboard to kind of match what is going to happen in the marketing site in the next few weeks. So hopefully like the brand look and feel will stay the same all the way through, but the web app will have like a bit of a lag in terms of some of the detail of what we're putting into the marketing site at the very beginning. So I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it seems much more manageable to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, customers aren't going to complain if the marketing site is different, as long as the dashboard doesn't change too much. For the rebrand in general, is a primary motivation just updating it, just keep it like making it something that is a better fit for today's market? Or are there more direct economic concerns with that?
The former, yeah. We are moving into a premium kind of position in the market, or we're trying to at least, and we want what people see when they see the site and the brand to reflect that. And, you know, talking about the sales folks, they just will have an easier job with, hey, you know, we're selling this kind of version of Castos.
That was really like what I was saying before, is that that was a lot of our starting motivation, where we had some elements, it looked nice, but we had some elements that were flat, some that weren't, and it just wasn't consistent. And I think if you just look at it, you're like, oh yeah, that's nice, but it just didn't, you didn't get the right feeling from it, which is obviously super subjective. But I do feel strongly where it's sort of the Apple ethos, where it's just like you want to remove all friction from design, from usability. You don't want people to focus on how pretty it is. You want them to be able to use it without having to think about it. And it should look nice along the way. And I just feel like there's enough little friction points that really did add up. And I also know that in our space, no one else is thinking about those things. And so that to me felt like it could be a competitive advantage, is really, really stress the UX and make it all cohesive, make it all flow. And just as you start using the product more and more, that's the one thing. Is like I on the redesign, there's a lot we could have done differently in hindsight. But for me personally, so it's like until I'm actually using it, there's only so much I can do on wireframes and mockups. Like I need to actually use it. And just over the years, we had been using the latest version of the app, we just start questioning, like, oh, like, does it have to work this way? Like, could we have this laid out somewhere differently? And I think we just finally started like, okay, we have enough that we really want to start getting these changes in there. But I guess the difference that I'm curious about is for our customers, they are really living within the app. Once they're done, yeah, they put their lineups in DraftKings or FanDuel and go from there, but they're spending time every day within the app. Whereas for your customers, it's almost like the app, the dashboard they don't care that much about it. They want it to work. They want it to work. They don't want it to be a hard part of their process, but like their podcast hosting, they want it to be fast. They want it to stay up. And that's really like what they're paying attention to. And so with that in mind, is it trying to, okay, let's make sure that this has a nice, clean, cohesive look, fits with our updated branding, but not trying to move things around too much? Or what are you thinking about the dashboard? Because that is one area where it's like, when someone is just trying to like do their job of getting this out there, you don't want to make it harder for them when they're not super concerned about it. But you do, at the same time, want someone new coming in to be impressed with like, oh, like this looks like it fits the price tag.
The motivations we have are kind of aesthetic, you know, like color and brand and logo and style and stuff like that. I mean, our app is just not super complicated, right? You make a podcast, you make an episode, you show the episodes. As a side note, we are rolling out like new website themes for like the Castos hosted pages in the next week or so. That's a totally different thing, but like that'll be really cool. So like this podcast will be moving to one of those. So we'll be using the kind of built-in Castos pages here soon. And we're gonna have three different options for people to use. And that is the place that I think the look and feel of it is really important for customers. Because like if they don't use WordPress and they don't want to go and do with Elementor or whatever, they want something that is really spot on. Every pixel is perfect. They have all the SEO stuff that they need and Open Graph and all this kind of stuff. And so like that's a place that we've invested a lot in the last couple of months and like really excited to roll that out, because I think that'll be a big differentiator, because there's not any, certainly not many, hosting companies that give people the option to pick themes and customize like the look and feel of their podcast website that are generated by the host.
No, but I think that's a really good distinction because it's like you have the internal tools that they use, which I think can almost as a feature is that they're somewhat utilitarian. It's like Libsyn is nuts. It's ridiculous to use. Like even after using it for years and years, if I had to find some weird feature in it, it takes forever to figure it out. And so you guys have solved that. Like it's, I feel like it's your dashboard is clean. It works and people know how to use it. And so you don't need to mess that up. You want to get it styled the way the rest of the site is going to look and match the new branding, but you're not trying to reinvent the wheel there. What they will care about is, like I was saying, is their brand. They care about their podcast being always accessible and the public face that they can put on with that to their customers. And yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense of focusing more attention to detail in that direction.
So yeah, I mean, and so we're just going to have kind of an iterative process of, you know, the website themes will roll out in the next couple of weeks. And then the updates to the dashboard will be just kind of as they're ready. I see companies like Stripe do this. The main dashboard view in Stripe hasn't changed since I used it, since I started using it, you know, 6 years ago. But every time I log in, it's a little different. And that's what we're going for is, and that's what I would ask you maybe is like, in hindsight now, what if you guys had like 20 small releases of this? Do you think that it would be better or faster or less disruptive to customers? Or did you need to just spend 6 months in the basement and do this and roll the whole thing out at once?
I'm sure there's ways we could have done it a bit more iteratively, but the trouble is a lot of the code really is new. So it's like if we would have almost all of it. So it, like it really was a lot of it was a rewrite at the same time. And so that's where it's like, yeah, if we would have added some of the, we could have added some of these features into the current app, but then we would have had to duplicate that work to put them in the redesign brand and like all that stuff. So like that's the trouble. And there's probably some middle ground we could have found just how we approached it of making it more of an evolution from the current site to the new one. I think that would have had, we would have had to do it that way. And yeah, probably the biggest mistake was just underestimating the scope of it. So that was like, all right, we'll start this on a new branch, keep moving forward. And then in a couple months, we'll be good. And then, and so it was like, that was when it was also like, oh, like we'll put the features in this one because it's going to be out pretty soon. That was the big thing. Yeah, I think we could have probably done some of the refactoring first in the current, like just keep improving the current thing and then start doing some more of the design related elements. Yeah, that would have been the better solution. But yeah, I don't know. Like I think that's where having like a really seasoned probably product person, because I don't think it's just a design. I don't think it's a, that's really the responsibility of a designer. I think you need someone, a real experienced product person to be able to manage that. And I'm someone who's very particular and I think I can move things in the right direction, but I don't have a developed enough skill that, again, just looking at the wireframes and mockups, I'm like, oh, from a usability standpoint, like this won't make sense. It's like, I really just like, it's definitely my shortcoming, but like I need to be using it to really get a feel for it. And so I think, again, like I'm very happy where it's at now, but it was not an efficient process at all, but we'll learn.
Yeah, man. You know, Brian, our engineering manager, was the one who said, like, you don't want to like rewrite the whole app and release it at once. So just get the look and feel the same and then go and tweak as you go. And I think he's been bit by the, you know, the app redesign scope creep in the past. So I'm glad that he said,
yeah, I think it's something that like we just have to learn. And yeah, we had a lot of technical debt to begin with. And a lot of the features that we wanted to build were really hard with the way things are set up right now. So it's like, all right, like let's just start clean and go from there. And I know at Groove, there are similar challenges when they did a rebuild of the app, whereas sometimes when you start building on the old one, it gets really messy and just makes things worse. But there's got to be those middle grounds of, all right, how do we just start renovating rather than starting from scratch? But at the end of the day, I'm just happy to be close to the finish line. And so, yeah, I'm sure over the next few weeks, I'll have some good updates around how the beta is going and then hopefully how the release is going and all of that. But yeah, it's going to be a busy month for me from here.
Yep. Look forward to hearing about kind of, yeah, the business impact you guys see from the updates. That'll be cool to see.
For sure. Yeah, so I'll keep everyone in the loop. If anyone has any questions, thoughts, or concerns, as always, you can reach us at podcast@seekingscale.com. But thanks, Greg, and thanks everyone for tuning in.
Thanks, everyone.
See ya.